You could please share your full name, date, and place of birth.
James Hanley, and born in Spokane. Okay. And I grew up right here in this block.
Okay. So you've lived in the neighborhood your whole life?
Essentially, yes.
Okay.
Time out for military and school. Other than that, always been right here.
Okay. So what are your some of your earliest memories of the East Central neighborhood?
What would I say about earliest memories?
You talk about like schooling maybe.
I remember that there was a lot more traffic and that this area was much more of a retail center. As a little guy growing up, the freeway hadn't come through just yet. That didn't really happen until 1954-55 through there, and then they were still building on until end of the 60s, but it was very much a little retail center. There used to be a motel on the corner, and a pharmacy, and grocery stores, and the hardware stores, and plumbing stores, and of course we were in the electrical service, television and radio, in the beginning of radio, but I don't really remember much of that. It was just a nice little community. And then, of course, the freeway came through and just bisected the thing. So we wound up with essentially two East Central neighborhoods. One north of the freeway, one south of the freeway.
Okay. What are some important organizations that you'd say are in the neighborhood?
Well, one must realize that East Central has in excess of 1,100 businesses. It's the largest business area in the city of Spokane as far as the number of businesses are concerned. So business is very important to East Central.
Okay.
We, unlike many other neighborhoods, have a very close relationship from the people that live in the neighborhood and the businesses that operate in the neighborhood.
So you talked a little bit about when the freeway was constructed, and said it was more of a community, like a small community beforehand, and it split into two. What sort of discussions have you had about the freeway with people?
Oh, well, I mean, it's been ongoing since they did it, trying to stitch the neighborhood back together, and now we've got it coming from the other direction. They're doing the same thing on the north-south freeway that's running just, what, four blocks this side, three blocks to the west of Freya, and that's coming all the way from the north side, and that's just ripping the neighborhood apart again. We have lost 330 homes on along 2nd and 3rd Avenue, which very disruptive to the community. A lot of those people that lost their homes had lived here for many, many years. And not only does it disrupt the community, but the tax base that helps to support the community is taken away. The state obviously wants to own that property. The state does not pay any local property taxes either to the city or the county. They don't support the fire department, the police department, the road department, the utilities. And it's just turning into kind of a big wasteland along 2nd and 3rd now for a half a block each direction. And the latest prognostication is that the freeway will not be completed until, and the north-south extension will not be completed until 2040. So your kids will be driving by then.
How was life in the neighborhood during construction of the freeway? Or still?
Well, you know, I can't say about during the construction of the freeway because I don't remember that.
Okay.
But right now, it doesn't affect life other than a lot of the people that live in the communities, whether they be the children that attend the local schools, the people that lived here for many years. Now, most of the people would still retain their job, but you know, they've moved away.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids are gone, and a lot of that social link has been broken.
can you think of any positive effects from the freeway being put in?
Well, you can get through the neighborhood a lot faster. Obviously, from a regional transportation standpoint, it's a very positive thing. But from the standpoint of the neighborhood, it's not a very positive situation.
Would you say the freeway has impacted your business?
Well, if you go back to the beginning, it impacted it tremendously. This used to be I-90, this street here that you're looking at.
Sprague was.
And we had a real high traffic count back then. Well, from the standpoint of people who had their clients just dropping by, like a grocery store would be, in contrast to like the Tin Roof now, a destination store, because it doesn't particularly affect us now. But other than it makes it easier for people in outlying areas to get here. But in the original DOA, it shut down lots and lots of businesses, to include big guys like Safeway and the little pharmacy we're talking about that was across the street, and all these people that depended on drive-by traffic. Well, that was all shifted over to I-90. Now, there's always a positive side of that, because there was a traffic calming effort, so there wasn't as much traffic, so it became a safer community from the standpoint of getting across the break. And of course, got built up more and more traffic. And just recently, we did this traffic calming effort here on Sprague Avenue, in which we went from a four-lane street to a three-lane street. So there's a center turn lane and an east lane and a west lane. Parking became wider, and the cars have more room to travel in. Before, we had two 10-foot lanes each direction, and the typical big truck is over 10 feet wide, so you could have two big trucks that could actually mix themselves up as far as their mirrors are concerned, and we lost lots of mirrors in our way. And since they made this traffic provision, we've not had one problem that I'm aware of like that. And you feel safer, like if you parked on the street here, getting out of your car before, you know, you had to really pay attention. Now, the cars are 3 or 4 feet away, so even though you have to pay attention, it's not quite as intense.
Yeah.
Literally, if you hit the lights right, you're 3 minutes from downtown from here. And the property values are about one-fifth what they are downtown. So we anticipate that in the growth, or there will be growth in residential housing. We have a new 37-unit apartment complex that was just built. I don't know if you happen to see it. If you drove in from the west side, about three blocks back, is a brand new building. I think they've even gotten it filled up yet. And then, of course, we have all the businesses that are in this area, and to include manufacturing. We have Scafco, which builds steel studs and all the things that go with steel studs. So instead of using wood and all these new buildings, right, everybody uses steel. And they make all this kind of stuff and do a lot of custom work. So if you want to have a curved front or whatever, they'll build that for you. And they ship around the world. They also build grain elevators. And they ship grain elevators, these little grain storage bins, to, I think he was saying, 67 countries around the world. Yeah, it's a big deal. It's right here in Spokane. And they go all across the Pacific area and into the Middle East, as well as into Africa. But because of travel conditions, their business favors the Trans-Pacific versus going back east into the Midwest. So, yeah, there's a lot of exciting things going on out here between the school and the realization of proximity to downtown, new residential rehabilitation. East Central Steering Committee is very involved with rehabilitation of homes, and we deal with what's called community block grants. So that's federal money, and I think there's six neighborhoods in this city because of being lower income that qualify for these grants. And then they take that money and do all kinds of little things to improve the neighborhood, to include going in and rehabilitating some of these older, more dilapidated homes that people simply can't afford to fix up, but still want to and want to live there. And there's a number of them here in the neighborhood, so...